Thank you. Thank you. All right, we are back in Romans chapter 14 again this evening. We are looking at the very last verse. Chapter 14 deals with the problem that they were having in Rome among the Christians. Weak Christianity versus stronger Christianity. And the stronger judging the weaker. And causing quite a ruckus in the church at Rome. It has been an ongoing thing since man. Cain judged his brother Abel and killed him. So it's an ongoing thing, it has been. That's one of the natures of men. And what the subject of discussion was about things that's not spelled out in Scripture in our liberty. Christians are in liberty. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. And we have liberty unless the Scriptures specifically state, do not. And there are a lot of areas in the Christian life and in social life that is just not spelled out, ABC, that simple, in the Bible. And it's those questionable things. Back in the day, and the problem that they were having in Rome, it had to do with special days. It had to do with certain meats being eat. It had to do with a variety of things. We could list some things today. We're not going to do that. It just deals with things that are not specifically spelled out clearly in the Scriptures, whether it's permissible or not permissible. And the conclusion that Paul came to very at the beginning of the chapter was, let every man be fully persuaded in their own mind. What's right or wrong, everybody has to come to a complete persuasion of themselves. You can't be what somebody else wants you to be. You can't become what somebody else wants to make you become. Only the Lord. And you can't become what somebody else wants you to be to please them. And that's a lot of the problem that goes on in churches. You can't become what somebody wants you to be. You can only be what Christ has made you to be. And you can't be a people pleaser. I found out a long time ago, you can't please people. You can't please people. And we shouldn't even try to please people. Our life should be always an attempt to please the Lord. But you can't become what somebody wants you to be. And you can't be what they want you to be to make them happy. You can't do that. Because that's sin. It's sin. It's sin to carry on such activity. Now, as we look back in verse 23, he that doubteth, there's our key word. The last verse, chapter 14, verse 23, he that doubteth. Now, the answer is, be fully persuaded. Be fully persuaded. Be fully convinced. But the problem is doubt. Doubt. Can I or can I not? Is it permissible or is it not permissible? Down in the South, a real problem they have no problem with, smoking. It's a big problem in the South because they raise tobacco. And people smoke, preachers smoke. Charles Spurgeon smoked a cigar. He smoked cigars. Spurgeon. They didn't have any problem with it. Up here in the North, it's social drinking. The South condemns the North for social drinking, and the North condemns the South for smoking. And that's the scenario. And everyone's got to be persuaded in their own mind. I don't smoke because I don't want to get cancer. But the main reason I don't smoke is because my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so forth. Now, doubt. People that walk through their life in doubt. But doubt has a different word added to it at the very beginning. Maybe you have forgot since we looked at chapter 14. So we'll refresh our minds tonight and we'll go back to chapter 14, verse 1. Uses the same word it closes the chapter with. The same word that closes the chapter begins the chapter. But it adds a word to it. And this is where you get into the problem. Him that is weak in faith, receive. Remember, we gave you a threefold thing. First thing is to receive them. And then it goes on to close, but not those that are weak in faith. You don't bring them to doubtful disputations. There's your word, doubtful. Disputing. Fighting. Bickering. Dispute. Dispute. Disputes. Churches get in disputes and fight over things. I know a church that's disputed over what color they was going to paint the auditorium. I've known churches that split over what color the carpet was going to be. Disputing, disputings. Crazy, crazy stuff. Disputations. Notice that follows. Now, he dealt with the disputations between verses 2 and 22. He dealt with the disputations. Now, in closing, he comes back to the word doubt. See how it's laid out? You receive the weak, not to doubtful disputations. You don't sit down and dispute with one another what you think is right and what you think is wrong, what's permissible, what's not permissible. So he deals with the disputations, verses 2 through 22, then takes you right back to chapter 14, verse 23, and back to the word doubt. Doubt. And that's where the problem is. Doubt. We have people that doubt their salvation. I had a problem with that when I first got saved. Doubted. And boy, I want to tell you, for several months, I thought I was going to lose my mind. I thought I was going to go crazy. I kept asking myself, well, what more do I need to do? What more do I need to do? What else is there need to do? And I'd hear a message again on salvation, and I'd think, well, I've done all of that, but I still just didn't have the assurance. Just didn't have the confidence. And one day the Lord, just a soft spoken voice, says, the confidence has to be in me, not you. You want assurance, you have it in me, not in you. Not what you've done, but I've done. I've done everything. You don't have to do anything else. God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that we are the children of God. That's our confidence. That's our assurance. And I have dealt with, if not hundreds, thousands of people over the years I've been in the ministry that just can't get it settled. They just can't get it settled. If God says it, that settles it. And I know we went up, and I won't say names or anything on the air, but we went up and talked to an elderly gentleman, and been up there twice, and I was supposed to go back up last week, and he was sick. But doubting. And I gave him God's simple plan of salvation, told him to read it, gave him several different scriptures and everything. And I sat up there probably for over an hour and went over those verses, and he would always, after you told him something, he'd always come back with a but. And then you go down that path, and boy, you know, after a while you think, phew. But I've been there. I know what he's going through. And I simply said, open your Bible to Romans chapter 10. And I said, now you look at and read with me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and I made him say it. But first, before I made him say it, I said, did you call? Yes. Then what's the promise if you called? I made him say it. Shall be saved. And he threw his hands in the air and he said, then I'm saved. Like a light switch came on. But doubt can drive you crazy. Doubt can drive you nuts. And the opposite of doubt is faith. So that's why he concludes in verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith, if you don't live your life, everything that you conduct in your life every day, if it's not of faith, then it's sin. It's sin. And boy, that's pretty serious. Now, we're going to come back to this in just a moment, but I want to deal with that word doubt for just a moment. You can hold your finger there in Romans chapter 14 and go back. You know where I'm going. Some of you are probably already there. James chapter 1. And what this has to do with is praying for wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do with what we know. Wisdom is knowing what to do with what we know. That's called understanding. Wisdom is knowing what to do with what we know. And you cannot, you might, and we do in secular life and social life, we do lean upon our own understanding in the secular life and the secular world. But you can't lean upon your own understanding in this. Can't do that. We're warned. Do not lean upon your own understanding. So we need the wisdom of God to know how to do with what I know. And the more I learn, the more wisdom I know how to apply it. And this is where people get all messed up. So James, and you know, these are Hebrew Christians, but certainly applicable to all of us tonight. No doubt about that. But they were going through manifold trials and temptations. Persecution against the Jews at this period of time was absolutely ferocious. It was ferocious. And all over the known world. But it was spreading. It was like children of nation of Israel in Egypt. The more Pharaoh persecuted, the more they grew. And they're really going through it terribly. And he is telling them that in verse 5, if you lack wisdom, wisdom may not tell you why, but wisdom may lead you to know what to do. Wisdom may not answer your question, why? And that's normally where we find ourselves most of the time. Why? We have inquisitive to try to look into whatever we're going through. Why? Wisdom may not give you your answer to why, But wisdom will lead you to know what to do with what you know at that particular point in time. That's why we need wisdom, to know what to do with what we know. Boy, isn't it awful to know things and not know what to do with it? Huh? Are you crazy? To know things and yet you don't know what to do with it. If any of you lack wisdom, I'm in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. That giveth to all men. Now, if you want to be a liberal, and you want to say our God's a liberal, our God is liberal when it comes to salvation, mercy, forgiveness, grace, wisdom, he's liberal. When it comes to moral standard, he's very conservative. Because his attributes are the highest standard. But he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't rebuke. When you ask for wisdom, he doesn't rebuke you, nor does he hold it back. He don't withhold it when you ask. He's not going to rebuke you if you ask. When Solomon came to the throne and God said, ask what you will, Solomon said, he's a 40-year-old man. And he says, I am but a child. I don't know how to go out and I don't know how to come in. And the thing that you've given me to do is a great task, to lead your people, the nation of Israel. Give thy servant a wise and understanding heart. And the Bible says, the thing that Solomon asked for pleased the Lord. Gave it to him. And come to be known, in the Scriptures anyway, as the wisest man to ever live. It shall be given him. You ask. You ask. You need wisdom. If you know, but you don't know how or what to do with what you know, then you better pray for wisdom. Knowing and not knowing what to do with it means we got a lack of wisdom. I hope that doesn't sound confusing, because it isn't, if you just give it some thought. We live in a country where Bible knowledge is plentiful, and without any type of hindrance of learning all you want to learn. My Bibles, plenteous, churches, plenteous. It's all over social media, television, radio. If you weeded out a lot of the garbage, it would reduce it quite a large percent. But there are still some good men on preaching and teaching, and a lot of good churches yet in this great country. As far as knowledge of God, it's plentiful. And we can saturate our hearts and minds with it. But if we don't know what to do with it, what good is the knowledge if we don't know what to do with it? Nothing. I can learn when I'm a 4-year-old boy, that's a tractor. So I know that's a tractor. And I also know, Dad said, don't get on it. We had an old 1948 International one-ton truck. And we was thrashing. We had thrashers back then. You cut the wheat with a scythe, then you went through with forks and loaded them up on wagons, horse-drawn, and took them over to the thrasher and run the wheat and the barley and the spelts and whatever else, grain, through the thrasher that thrashed it out. And then, but we did have a truck. And then we'd take the wheat or the spelts or oats or whatever it was and put it on the back of the truck. So it was sitting there. We had trouble getting it started. And so it was kind of sitting on a bank like this. And my dad said, don't you get in that truck. What did I do? Wonder why he don't want me in that truck. Now I knew he don't want me in there. But I didn't know why he didn't want me in there. So I got in there. as they was out there picking up the wheat, and I bumped it up out of gear, and down the hill it went. Just luckily, there was a hill on the other side. So for about a minute or two, it just sat there. It went, whoop, 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 until it slowed down and stopped. And when it stopped, I looked out the door, and there stood my dad. He said, "Did you have a fun ride?" I knew what it was, but I didn't understand what it could do. I didn't understand what to do with it. A lot of things we learn young in age, but we don't learn what they are or how to use it until later. That's in the secular world, in the social life, simply the same thing in the spiritual. So we need wisdom, and only God can give us. You can't figure this out with human wisdom. We're warned about that in the Proverbs. Solomon warned us. We're warned about it in the Corinthians. You need wisdom to figure out, understand, ask. Verse 6, but let him ask in, there's your word, faith. Faith. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Now I want to tell you, sometimes when the storms are dark and the sky's dark and the hail is coming and the wind is blowing and you think the top of the roof's coming off and boy, things are dangerous, I want to tell you it's hard to have a stable heart. Hard to have a stable heart. Nothing wavering. Can't waver. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And that's where a lot of people get to. They get into the storms of life. They get into the doubtful things that's not clear. And they're dropped back and forth. Well, can I? Or, well, can I not? Or am I saved? Or am I not saved? Or what do I need? And it drives them crazy. And they're just like the sea. Just like the sea. It never rests. You've got to ask in faith. And faith is the opposite of doubt. Now, verse 7, James 1, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You come to the Lord in prayer, and the back of your mind is filled with doubt and wavering. Don't think you're going to receive anything, because God wants us to come to Him in assurance and confidence that knowing that He that sits on the throne asked me to come, invited me to come, told me He would send help if I came, and everything to which I ask Him will be fulfilled according to His will. That's many times where we need God's understanding. God's understanding. So when we come to the Lord in anything, we just went to the Lord in prayer. We've got to come in faith. Believing. Believing that God hears us. Believing that God is going to answer us. Believing that God's going to send help. If not, if we don't believe it, what's the need of even spending the time asking? Now here he is, verse 8, double-minded. Now you've already got two minds, just like you got two natures. You got two minds. I got two minds, you've got two minds. And our old mind is in the old body. The body is called the body of sin. And that body of sin is surrendered, useless, and surrendered to service to Christ in Romans chapter 12. And then the mind is dealt with in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that the mind has to be transformed. So we let the mind of Christ be in us. And here's what happens, and it's simple. It's not hard to understand. We're either in the spiritual mind or we're in the old body mind, the old physical mind. And trying to analyze things and put the spotlight on situations and disputations and whatever, on human wisdom and analyzing and trying to figure out everything through this human mind is absolutely impossible. That's where we get into the double-mindedness. That's just like the carnal and the spiritual. I'm either living in a spiritual body or the carnal body. Either the carnal body is taken over and I'm living carnally, or the spiritual life is taken over and I'm living spiritually. One or the other. Can't be both. Can't be both. So the double-mindedness is that old mind that's supposed to be transformed and should lay dormant and should never be allowed to resurrect itself to any type of reasoning. You know where you get your reasoning? Right here. Right here. Right here. Where we get our understanding? Right here. And all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Lean not upon thy own understanding. Lean not upon thy understanding. That's that old mind. Yes, there is a double mind, but if we're back and forth, if we're in the spiritual mind 1 hour and back in the old mind the second hour, and then flip-flopping back and forth from the spiritual to the physical, back and forth. Same way with our body. If the Spirit of God is in control and I'm living in victory and the spiritual life is being produced, the fruit and so forth, or if I slip back into the carnality and let the flesh rule and everything, I'm back and forth. Back and forth in the body, same way in the mind, just like the sea, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Whatever we do, once we get saved, must be by faith. We walk by faith. That's a standard. We walk by faith. We will understand by faith. And there is absolutely no other way in which we can bring to our minds and hearts peace and tranquility unless we allow that to happen. So he that doubteth, now here it is, we'll leave James, but understand what the double mind is. It's just like the dual. I had the hardest time figuring this out when I heard this preached as a young Christian. You're a dual nature. You got two natures. I how in the world can that be? You got a dual nature. Couldn't figure it out. But in time, you learn it. You understand it. And now that I know it, wisdom finally unveiled it. And time and life and experience. In the same way with the mind. Same way with the mind. Back and forth, back and forth. And if we're back and forth, our prayer life is hindered. We don't get it. Our prayers are not answered. We wonder why. And we're questioning God. We have to be put. The only way you can be fully persuaded is your faith. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That mind has been transformed to a spiritual thought process. My sinuses are terrible. Excuse me. So, double-minded man, he is unstable. He is unstable in all his ways. He's just an unstable person. Unstable. Don't know. Don't know. In and out, up and down. I'm in, I want to go out. I'm up, I want to go down. I'm away, I want to come home. Wherever I'm going, I just want to do the opposite. It's terrible to live like that. And it will put you in a mental state that can destroy you. Faith is the answer. God says it, that settles it. And eventually I'll understand it. And the way you understand it is experience. Experience. And the Holy Spirit of God within us. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 14. And here's where people live. Not only are they like the sea tossed to and fro, and they're unstable. It don't take much to move water. You just take a bowl of water and put your finger down in it and see what happens. Just put your finger down the bowl of water and it starts ripples. It don't take much to move water. That's the way God pictures us, unstable. Now, he that doubteth, and you can put anything behind that. That word damned in verse 23 is the same word as condemneth in verse 22. Exactly the same word, condemneth. He that doubteth, it means to be condemning myself. I'm bringing myself under condemnation. Now, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. His mind is not persuaded, it's okay. So everything that I do in my life that I'm not sure of, listen, I'm going to summarize this up and we're going to pass it on to the Holy Spirit within us to help us, and all those out there on Facebook. We're going to pass it on to the Holy Spirit to help us each day in our life. Everything you do and everything that I do in our life every day has to be a faith. It has to be a faith. That's the standard. We walk by faith, not by sight. And every decision I have to make, every decision that's before me has to be a faith. It has to be a faith. Because if I waver, and I think, well, how many times have you and I said, I just don't know what to do? I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what direction to take. I just don't know. I've always said, if you don't know which way to go, stay where you are. If you don't know which way to go, stay where you are and wait for directions. Wait for directions, what to do. You say, well, sometimes it's not that simple. Sometimes, you know, in ministry and in businesses and things like this, people have to make decisions, and sometimes they have to make them like that. They're going to make a lot of them, and they're going to make them quick. And boy, that's a preacher's life. Not every day, but many times, in many days. And some days, my biggest mistake some days is I just get up. That's the biggest mistake I made. I just got up. And I'm no more out, and I don't even get the coffee pot on, and the phone rings, or I get a text, and boy, it starts. And it starts. And about the time you get that digested, something else hits you again. Something else hits you again. And I mean, the whole morning goes like that. By the time it gets to be noon or 1 o'clock, like I said Sunday night, I can't take anymore. And during that period of time, you don't think life's complicated? Wow. Going through our life like this, in our Christian life, we got to be able to make decisions like this, like that.
Like us, we're going to make decisions quick. Somebody asks us something, we got to be able to tell them. What if I was a pastor for 43 years and people come to me and I say, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Do whatever you think's right. One thing we don't do, we never let our conscience be our guide. Because that's the old man. Never let your conscience be your guide. We've got a new man inside of us. That's our leader. But woman, you have to make a lot of decisions and you have to make them quick and they got to be right. They got to be right. Because if they're not, how many times have you made a decision and an hour later you get, oh, I don't think I should have done that. You know what just happened? You just condemned yourself. That's exactly what that verse is saying. If it's not of faith, if you're doubting it later, if you're doubting your decision an hour later, then you're condemning yourself. If it's of faith, then there's no doubt. An hour later, you're not going to be saying, or I'm going to be saying, maybe I shouldn't have done that, or maybe I should. No, doubt don't talk like that. Doubt doesn't talk like that. Faith says, I made the decision, that is the decision, it's the right decision, and I move on. And there's been times in my life that's happened and I found out later it was a wrong one. But it don't hinder me and it's not going to stop me from continuing to live. Continuing to function. Elijah went up on the mountain of Carmel. He's got a whole nation of people in front of him. And they are in a dilemma. And here was his question. Here's what Elijah asked the people. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? And that word halt means stop. Stop. Go here. And what they were trying to figure out, who's God? That's where we are in America tonight. Who's God? And Elijah said, if the Lord is God, then worship Him. If Baal is God, then worship Him. How long are you just going to halt between the two and not know where you're going? You've been halted long enough. It's time to move. And I want to tell you, when we seek our great God, and we are earnest, and we are sincere, and passionate about wanting to understand maybe a decision that has to be made, and sometimes they could be a life-threatening decision. And sometimes it could be a large monetary decision. It could be you could carry it to the end of the world, the decisions, and the impact that it makes. And it not only impact maybe my own life, but it impact hundreds of other people's lives. We've got to make them. We can't sit and wave back and forth like an unstable man. Well, I'm going to do this. Then we start, no, I better not do that. No. And we've all been there. And probably we're going to be there some more. Pray for wisdom. That's the answer. Pray, Lord, saturate my heart every day with Your wisdom. Then when you prayed that, and then when this complications come into life and we have to make those on-the-spot decisions and we don't have time to think, there's nothing worse than a pulsating thought which brings a decision. There's nothing worse than a pulsating decision. Making a decision without ever giving a mental thought to it. And yet sometimes you have to do that. And that's where we have to rely totally upon the Spirit of God in us. And that takes wisdom and understanding and sensitivity
to the Holy Spirit in us. Listen, I want to tell you something, my friend. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead you to go contrary to the will of God. The Holy Spirit of God, will, when you're depending on Him and leaning on Him, He will never lead you contrary to the will of God or to whatever God wants accomplished, whatever it may be in life. And especially in these areas where it's undecided. I've been kicked all over the country and overseas because I wear boots. I've worn boots since I've been a teenager. I'm flat-footed. Don't have any arch. And boy, my bottom of my feet hurt like terrible if I don't have the arch in there. And sometimes I have to put an extra arch if the boot don't have a big enough arch in it. I had a pastor in Chattanooga, Tennessee, put four men in his car and started up Interstate 40, coming up to Kentucky where I had started a church and pastoring, and he was on his way up there to rebuke me and to correct me for trying to act like and be like the Kentucky Mountain Men. Yep. Yeah. Car broke down. The car broke down on their way up. They had to turn around and go back. But I was told, you know why he was coming up there? No. Oh, he was going to come up there and correct you. You're trying to act like it was Mountain Man. You wear them shoes and boots. He said, you can't do that. That's not right. Well, he did come up. He stayed in our house. And we went out for a walk one night. And he started in on me. And I turned to him and I said, Mike, I want to tell you something. I wore boots ever since I've been a teenager. And I have worn boots more years than you've been alive. And I said, I'm going to continue to wear them, and I don't wear them to be like a Kentucky Mountain Man. I wear them because they're good for my feet. He got in his car and went back home the next day. This is these people that want you to become what they want you to be. They want to make you and form you into what they think you ought to be. They have no right to do that. They have no authority to do that. And these disputations have destroyed ministries and churches and Christians and families across our country and its influence around the world. Listen, everything we do it by faith. It has to be. It has to be. Whatever is not of faith, you look at it as we close, whatsoever is not of faith, that's sin. That's sin. It's wrong. If it's not of faith. So we have to pray, and we have to pray earnestly and sincerely, as James teaches us. Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. And pray in faith. In faith, believing that God is not only going to hear me, God is going to send help to me. Amen? Double-mindedness. It's the old mind. It's over here in this old body. And it's easier operated if the body in the life is living carnal. That's when this old mind normally gets active, when the life is acting carnal, not spiritual, when it gets in trouble. All right. Well, again, let everyone be persuaded in their own mind. Be fully persuaded in their own mind. That's the conclusion. Doubt is a tool of the devil. Disputations is an art of the devil. He loves to destroy. He loves to destroy. So he destroys by conquering and dividing. God help us to wake up to His craftiness and deceitful tools. All right, beautiful day today, wasn't it? Beautiful day. Ann and I are going to go get our second round tomorrow morning. Now, they say the second round makes you sick, terribly sick. So I am just the person to prove them wrong. Okay? But anyway, we're going tomorrow morning and get our second round. All right. Thank you for coming out tonight. Shall we stand? Our Father, thank you for the sweet time of prayer. We say amen. Send help, O God, to all the requests that were made here tonight, and especially for the young Prouty girl. Lord, what a tragedy. What a situation to have to go through. Give grace and strength for this trial. And we pray your will be done. And Lord, for all the other requests, send help. Take the word of God tonight. Seal it in our hearts. Help us, we pray. Lord, we're human yet. We're still human. We struggle. We're not like you completely. We're trying, by the grace of God, day after day, be more transformed. But we still struggle in this old frailty. Lord, help us each day. We need the mind of you every moment of every day and the wisdom to know what to do with what we know that you've given knowledge for. So bless thy word to our hearts tonight and dismiss us with thy blessings and safety upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.